So a river flows from Eden, then breaks into four different rivers. And two of them, we know the Euphrates is still great, and the Tigris is still great in Europe and the Middle East. The Gihon we have sometimes associated with the Nile, although that is unclear. The Pishon is only of regional importance. But the water flowing from creation is important, that symbol of life that courses through all farming communities, that rain and that water that waters the crops and makes grounds fertile, is the beginning of this story, the water that sustains our life. And I think that is the key part of this story, this idea that our life flows from the water and from love. For we have God putting humans in the garden in order to take care of the garden and to have life from the food. But it is interesting that the first thing that God realizes when here is a human in the garden surrounded by food, surrounded by water, surrounded by the shelter that comes from the garden, was that it was not enough. That food and shelter were not enough for life. And so in one of those scenes that is totally awesome when done at Vacation Bible School, God, who is in the garden with the human, parades a series of animals. Would you like a helper? No, I would not like a pig. Would you like a helper? No, I would not like a rhinoceros. Would you like a helper? No, I would not like a worm. If you imagine people dressed up like this in Vacation Bible School, it's actually really funny. And so what we realize very quickly is that, no, the animals are not helpers alone, and that gives you a sense of what kind of helper we are looking for. We're not looking for the helper to pull the carts. We're not looking for a helper to do the work that you delegate. We are looking for a helper that helps to live. In some places in the Bible, God calls God a helper. This idea that there are things that need to be done together that cannot be done alone. And so while this text has sometimes been used to point to the subservience of women, that's not, I don't think, the essence here. The essence is the reminder that no human can be alone. Beth was looking through some poems and some images last night, including this one, which she's been eager to use since she saw we were doing the narrative lectionary, so blame her. And in this book of poems from John Hollander, there is a fairly long one. I will not read all of it, but starting, "In the beginning was the what? Faust tried for openers, wort, scene, croft, tot. Word, meaning, power, all of these reeked of creed. He finally settled simply on deed. But none of these would do for true beginning. Our ghosts were there before all of those, and not playing love's game in which there is no winning, but doing love's work, continuous creation of all the celebrated lovers' tales, of all the letters, all the conversation, and all the strange fictions that plain fact entails. And all the silences that bridge the void of words exhausted. Let us take possession of origin, then like some crafty Freud saying, in the beginning was repression, or like some Kabbalist, first was the name, what could we literary lovers claim? In the beginning was unlikeness? Good. In the beginning was the open door through which crept in the soul of all our sins? In the beginning there was likelihood? The oldest gospel of our lives begins, in the beginning, there was metaphor." And so as we get to God's creation of woman in this story, we realize that this rib taken from the first human is not a literal rib. And I think our basic biology tells us this now. God was not someone cloning humans. It was instead a symbol, a metaphor, saying that in this person who has a part of me I did not know they would have, in this person who has in them a part of me that they did not know that I would have, in this person with whom I can bond, where our emptinesses and our fullnesses interact, I have love and a companion. That my companion is someone who will help me by recognizing in me the need for love and companionship. And it is in that sign we have this one, finally, is bone from my bones and flesh from my flesh, that moment of no longer being alone, of recognizing in another person some essential sameness. A pig would not do for the kind of companionship and love that is the beginning of our story with God. For God looked on us and said, because I love humans, I recognize they cannot be alone. And in this moment of completeness, there was no shame in nakedness, because the humans loved one another. And this is the beginning of our story together and our story with God. It begins in love. I'm so fond of saying that whatever our triumphs, whatever our defeats, they are not the beginning of the story and they are not the end of the story. And finally, now you know what the beginning of the story is. It is the love of God for us and our love for one another. And it's interesting here, too, because this is a time before children. It is a time before childbirth. You may or may not recall that the pains of childbirth are, in theory, the punishment for further transgressions in the garden. And so this is just pure love and pure companionship with one another. It's funny how quickly after this story that this purity of love between two people becomes something quite different and more complicated. In the stories of the Old Testament patriarchs and their marriages, love does not seem to be the primary thing. Love is there sometimes, but in the story of Abraham and Sarah, you also have Hagar, his slave, and his firstborn son Ishmael, who is cast out of the house. In the story of King David, we have his first wife, Michal, Saul's daughter. We talked about this earlier this summer. And when he united Israel, he cast her out. He declined her. He said, no, I'll never lay with you again, because her political utility was gone. And so the marriage in the Old Testament was so much about property and about power. And you see that too in how women were passed from their father's household to their husband's household. And we'll get to other stories too where this becomes problematic when you become a woman with no sons and no father and no husband. And so all these power relationships exist later that we create, but not here. Not here where we recognize that there is love and companionship. And that is such a pure thing. And it is such a hard thing too, when we are people in this modern age of busyness that sometimes prefer the solitary life. And we understand that companionship is not only defined as it was here between a man and a woman, but sometimes companionship is the love of friends and community. And it's hard, too, to see sometimes when our great love has passed us by and we are alone again. What is it to be alone? Because sometimes that companionship that is taken away can be so painful, and yet also carry with it the sense that this is the person who was bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and to them I remain a companion even when they are gone. And sometimes we recognize that the person who was flesh of my flesh at age 20 is not flesh of my flesh at age 40. And sometimes we recognize that in true love and companionship, we need the fulfillment that comes from that bond. And so we have divorce and remarriage too, and divorce and non-remarriage too, to say what we are looking for here is companionship and love, and that is what creates us. And so as we look across the world, and we have seen in the United States over the past 100 years, this getting away from marriage as a transfer of property, so important for so long, where we transfer property and responsibility, where people get married without seeing their spouses beforehand, where marriages are arranged in one way or another for protection. As we see over the past 100 years, moving marriage into this kind of companionship that we see in the first stories in the Bible, something based on love, something that is changeable based on love and not simply practicality, we understand more and more why there have been such grand changes over the past 5 years. For we look at this and we say, humans need companions. And it does not matter if it is man and woman who are flesh of flesh and bone of bone, whether it is women and women who are flesh of flesh and bone and bone, and whether it is men and men who are flesh of flesh and bone of bone, for in the beginning there were just the two people together and not ashamed. Amen.